One day, you and I will be a part of the greatest celebration in all of eternity. Here's Skip Heitzik with more.
We come now in the scripture to a marriage that will take place in heaven, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the great celebration that Christians of all ages have looked forward to since they said yes to Jesus Christ, the time when we'll be gathered in heaven with our Lord because, in a very real sense, we're engaged to Him. We have the promise that He will come. One day we'll be with Him face to face, and let me be quick to say, that is what will make heaven, heaven.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
Weddings are happy occasions, and rightfully so. They are celebrations of love and commitment, and often are a time when happiness comes so easily. During a wedding, no one is thinking about the 50% divorce rate in our nation, or the trend for most marriages to be rather unhappy. No, weddings are celebrations of what can be, full of optimism and joy. They're a time when I'm sure most of us wished would never end. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzik reveals that one day we will all be a part of a marriage celebration that will last for all of eternity, if we choose to attend. We'll get to that here in just a moment. But first, here's how you can make sure as many people as possible receive their invitation to this heavenly celebration.
Uganda is one of the poorest nations in the world due to destructive economic policies and persistent instability. Although improvements have recently been made in these areas, the road to recovery is still a long one. Even more crucial than the nation's economic revival is its need for spiritual revival. And as a member of the Global Connectors, you can help bring new life and a fresh move of the gospel to the churches of Uganda. For just $25 a month, you'll help support a global team that's working to transform countries throughout the African continent with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sign up today when you call 1-800-922-1888. And when you do, you'll also have access to a new resource each month to download. This month, you'll hear a message from John Bosco Tulett of Calvary Chapel in Jinja, Uganda.
I always repeat that the book of James is not written to the non-believers. The book of James is written to the believers, those ones who have given their life to Jesus Christ. And He wants them to get rooted on doing exactly what God has acquired them that they must do.
Help the Christians of Uganda experience spiritual revival and a new beginning in their relationship with Christ. It's just $25 to be a part of the Global Connectors, but that monthly donation can help change the course of nations. Find out more and how to get that free download from John Bosco Tulett on James 5 by just calling 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
Well, not only Africa, but England, Canada, Mexico, Mongolia, Global Connectors are helping us impact worldwide, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. Here's our number, 1-800-922-1888, or log on to find out more at connectionradio.org. You know, whether you're the bride or the groom or just someone attending, weddings are truly happy moments. So what would it be like to experience that with Jesus? We'll get a little preview in today's study.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19, and let's join Skip Heitzik as he shares what he was feeling when he proposed to his wife.
The night I proposed to my wife, I was a nervous wreck. And since having never done it before, I thought I would play Joe Philosopher. And instead of just coming out and asking her the question, I said, you know, in life, we all come to great crossroads of choice. And you don't know if it's a green light or a red light. And I'm using all this weird metaphor. And she's thinking, what is he saying? Of course, I had no idea what I was saying. I was just talking. And Finally, I got it out. I asked her to marry me, and I didn't hear that she said yes. And so she kind of shook me and said, Skip, I said yes. I said, yes what? Yes, I'll marry you. And it was like a light dawned on me. I shot up from my chair and I said, now wait a minute. Hold on here. This is a big step. We got to talk about this. We got to think about this. We have to plan our future. And then we started planning our wedding. And of course, there are differences in a couple as to what they want. I wanted, you know, the elaborate wedding. It's to be on the beach. I said, look, we'll wear shorts. I can wear a little tie, but I'll wear shorts, thongs. We'll have a little hot dog roast after the wedding. And tears welled up in her cheeks as I said this. And she had a different program, a different idea, which we followed. That's step number one in a happy marriage. Now, the day of our wedding came, and I was even more nervous and scared. And people who saw me said that I looked like I was in pain, physical pain. And I was, because the tuxedo shop gave me shoes a size and a half smaller than my feet are. So my toes are curled up like a monkey. And after the wedding, we had our marriage feast, our lunch. And one of the great things about this lunch is that they not only had the wedding cake, white cake, triple layer, but they had a carrot cake, which is my favorite cake. It was kind of a special gift to the groom. And we went out and took pictures after the wedding, and I couldn't wait to sit down and eat and have my carrot cake. And I come back to the feast, and the carrot cake was gone. The guests had eaten my cake! So I rebuked them all. No, I didn't. I'm just kidding. We come now in the scripture to a marriage that will take place in heaven, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the great celebration that Christians of all ages have looked forward to since they said yes to Jesus Christ, the time when we'll be gathered in heaven with our Lord, because in a very real sense, we're engaged to Him. We have the promise that He will come, and one day we'll be with Him face to face. And let me be quick to say, that is what will make heaven, heaven. It's not the golden streets, it's not the crowns, it's not the mansions, it's not even who else will be there. But Him, He will make it heaven. Wherever heaven is, whatever heaven looks like, to be together with Him is the great culmination of history. It's the same in a marriage. What makes a home? Well, it's not the house proper. It's not the dog and the cat or the furniture. It's the people inside that house. It's the husband, the wife, the children. That's what make it home. The last few months, we have been able to do prophetically what we will never have to do historically. We have gone through the Great Tribulation, week after week, ad infinitum, ad nauseum almost. We have uncovered each little turn and phase of the day of the Lord. We have seen the scroll being taken by Christ out of the right hand of Him who sits on the throne. And with each seal broken from that scroll, judgment ushered forth. Then there were seven blasts of trumpets. And with each peal of the trumpet came another judgment that was even more devastating than the previous. And finally, there were seven vials or bowls of judgment poured out upon the earth. And we read and we saw that when that final seven bowls are poured out, it's over. The tribulation, the day of the Lord, the atrocities are finished. And now we get to the good part, the good stuff. And in marked contrast to what we have read and studied in the past, this is great celebration, great victory. The hallelujah chorus is sung in heaven. We cover today the first 10 verses, which is a scene that takes place exclusively in heaven. You might call it a marriage made in heaven. That's really what it is. And there's three phases to this, three sections we want to look at this morning in these verses. There is, first of all, the celebration of the attendance. There'll be a lot of people at this gathering. 24 elders, four living creatures, angels, myriads, millions of them, the church. And so we'll see the celebration of the attendance. Then we'll see the culmination of the marriage itself. And finally, in verse 10, the miscalculation of John the Apostle. I want to draw your attention, though, to the first verse that says, after these things, after all of the loud wailing over Babylon the Great, which has fallen, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia. This is party time in heaven. It's the party of parties. There's great joy, great enthusiasm, endless celebration. And there's several voices that we read about coming from different places and different groups of people doing different things. Verses 1 through 3, a loud voice of a great multitude, presumably angels joining in anthems of worship. In verse 4, 24 elders and four living creatures respond by bowing and worshiping. In verse 5, there's a throne or a voice coming from the throne of God commanding people and every creature to worship and praise God. Finally, in verse 6, again, the voice of a great multitude, this time a little bit louder, a little more intense. It's like the voice of a thunder, the voice of many waters. The volume gets louder. Perhaps to John it seemed deafening as every creature in heaven breaks out in anthems of praise. So there's lots of attendance at this marriage, lots of activity, lots of emotion. They are excited. They are ecstatic. I've been to some weddings where you'd never know it was a wedding. Get out on the platform and look over the sea of faces, and you would swear it's a funeral. Everybody looks sad. It's like, they're getting married. This is it. D-Day. And you think, what's wrong with this picture? This is a wedding. There should be celebration, not sadness. Some churches are even like that. As if it's a cardinal sin to be happy, to rejoice, to celebrate God's goodness. No, this is a church. We check our smiles at the door. I think some people, when they get to heaven, are going to be shocked. Just by the virtue of the joy that is ceaseless, it goes on and on, celebration upon celebration. One theologian, Helmut Thielicke, wrote, should we not see that lines of laughter about the eyes are just as much marks of faith as are lines of care and seriousness? Is it only earnestness that is baptized? Is laughter pagan? We have already allowed too much that is good to be lost to the church and cast pearls before swine. A church is in a bad way when it banishes laughter from the sanctuary and leaves it to the cabaret and the nightclub and the toast masters. We notice a word that is used four times in these verses. It's the word, what? Alleluia. That should be something that is sort of obvious to us. It's a different word. It is the first and only time the word is even mentioned in the New Testament. It's never mentioned at all. It's always mentioned in the Psalms. But this is the first and only time, and it's used four times in a row. It simply means praise the Lord. It's as if heaven has waited to use this word until now, and then they use it over and over again. So heaven will be very active, and it will probably be very loud, like the sound of thunder, the sound of many waters. Why such celebration? It's obvious. It's over. The pilgrimage on earth is over. The suffering of earth is over. The persecution the Antichrist brought on the church, it's history. They're home. And that's worth singing about. I really enjoyed my stay in India. As far as the people are concerned, they're such a blessing. They're such great sacrifice. And they listen with such enthusiasm and desire to put into practice everything that God would speak to them. And as wonderful a time as that was, you know, it's hot, interesting smells, noises. There's no really way to describe it unless you've been there. You know, and after several days of that and five spider bites on the neck, I was ready to come home. You come home and you see your family and you see the fellowship that you love and you just think, it is great to be home. That is how we'll feel in heaven. We're not going to go, but I never got to have more children. I never got to get married. I never got to buy that new car. We're in heaven. Alleluia will be breaking out all over the place. Now, they celebrate for a few different reasons. Number one, notice in verse 1, for salvation. Alleluia, salvation, glory, and honor, and power belong to the Lord our God. The idea of that verse is this. We honor God because of His authority to bring to us salvation. In fact, the Living Bible says, salvation is from God. Honor and authority belong to Him alone. God is powerful enough to give us this kind of salvation. When you say, I'm saved, what does that mean? Usually we think of just one phase of salvation. I'm saved from sin's penalty. I will never have to go to hell. And that's a good reason to rejoice. But salvation is much more than just being saved from sin's penalty. That's what happens the moment you ask Jesus to be your Savior. You pass from death to life immediately. You have eternal life. But you are also, secondly, being saved as a process. You are being saved from the power of sin over your life. You were saved from its penalty. You're being saved from its power. But one day, and this is the day we're reading about it, you'll be saved from the very presence of sin itself. That is the culminating, that is the ultimate effect of salvation. And they worship and praise God for it. Do you ever stop to thank God just for salvation? Ever stop to think that if God never gave you one more blessing, that you have enough? That if He didn't fulfill any other of His promises except just to save you from sin and from its effects, that'd be enough. Every year at Passover, the Jews stop to consider their blessings. They run through a litany, a list of all that God has done in their history. And they go through one blessing at a time, and at the end of the blessing, they have a word that they all sing out loud. It's called Dayenu, which means we would be satisfied. If that's all that you did, that's enough. And at Passover, they say this, if God had merely rescued us from Egypt, but had not punished the Egyptians, Dayenu. If He had merely punished the Egyptians, but not destroyed their gods, Dayenu. If He had merely destroyed their gods but had not slain their firstborn, Dayenu. If He had merely slain their firstborn but had not given us their property, Dayenu. If He had given us their property but had not split the sea for us, and they go all the way down to what they have. As a Christian, we ought to be able to say, if God just sent His Son to die for me, to get me saved, and did nothing else, Dayenu, it is enough. Of course, God didn't stop there. He gives us more than that. Salvation is the first step to many other steps. Paul wrote in Romans 8:32, if God didn't spare His Son but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He then not with Him freely give us all things? Every blessing in Christ Jesus. I have read many books of the world religions, the great religions of the world, and what they promise and what they offer, and none can hold a dim candle to the salvation that God offers us. If you're a Christian today, hell is an impossibility, and heaven is the great inevitability. And so in heaven, the first thing is Jesus is about to return, and they sing the anthem, grateful for salvation. Secondly, they celebrate God's retribution. This is all under the attendants celebrating God and worshiping. They celebrate God's retribution. Verse 2, for true and righteous are His judgments, because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. He has avenged on her the blood of His servants shed by her. And they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rises up forever. Some might read this and think, boy, that's as insensitive as you can get. That's as uncaring as you can get. In chapter 18, the world is lamenting. Babylon is fallen. And at the same time, heaven is rejoicing. Yeah, it's fallen. I think that's very uncaring. No, it's not. If you're a Christian, you can understand this. During the tribulation, we have already seen earth will have more opportunity to be saved than any other period of history. Angels fly through heaven. Two witnesses are seen all over the world. on and on and on, the world will reject Jesus Christ pretty much wholesale, persecute God's people, kill two witnesses, and when the two witnesses get killed, everybody's so excited, they send presents to each other because God's witnesses are dead. Get those preachers out of here. They're dead. All right, I'll buy you a gift. Happy Dead Witnesses Day. Now it's heaven's turn to rejoice. You know, whenever a crime is committed, the nation is saddened. Whenever the criminal is apprehended, the nation rejoices, whether it's a drug czar or a pornography king or a serial killer. When that killer is convicted and sentenced, people sigh a sigh of relief. They rejoice. They're caught. It's over. And notice what they say. True and righteous are his judgments. You know, for centuries, people have said, God isn't fair, man. And they've challenged God's choices. Here in heaven, people will say amen to God. We're not going to be up in heaven going, oh, excuse me, God, that wasn't fair. I disagree with what you just did. Now, when God uncovers each layer of judgment, all of heaven will go right on. That's what amen means in the modern vernacular. Right on. Yes. That's true. That's righteous. Oh, to have a leader who would always do what is true and what is righteous. And one day you'll have one. It will be God himself. Last Sunday before the service in the jungles of Kerala, South India, we prayed for different people that we had heard their needs. Several churches in Orissa state had been burned to the ground by radical Hindus, so the people were displaced. There was a pastor up in Nepal who was preaching the gospel and is today in prison. All of these Christians and pastors awaiting the time when God will bring equity, righteousness, truth, and justice to bear. And here God does it, and God's people agree with him. Then in verse 4 and 5, there is a response by the 24 elders. It's best to see them as we saw, as the church. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God. What a wedding that'll be.
So someday things will finally be fair. We'll all get exactly what we deserve. That's a frightening prospect, isn't it? Well, thank God for his mercy and redemption through Jesus Christ. Without that, history's last chapter would only be filled with terror and not celebration. And that's all the time we have for today. But before we go, there are only a few days left to order this month's special offer, the Alert 2.0 Prophecy Package. Here's more about that.
What will be breaking news tomorrow? We could easily wake up to a major crisis in the Mideast. It's clear the pressure is growing. Iran is determined to build, buy, or steal nuclear weapons. Israel is surrounded by enemies, and the clock is ticking. The Bible gives us clues about the future, and though we can't know the day, we can know the season. And the changes we see should get our attention. We need to be aware. Alert 2.0 is a package of teachings featuring Tim LaHaye, former terrorist Kamal Saleem, Skip Heitzig, and General Jerry Boykin.
And I believe we're facing an even greater threat today than that we faced in the Cold War. I believe the threat today from this thing called radical Islam is the greatest threat that we've ever faced.
Alert 2.0 has over 3 hours of teaching content, including two bonus messages by Skip Heitzig from his Rumblings of War series.
If your only hope is that new home or the new car, well, enjoy it now, but it's all going to burn.
Alert 2.0, featuring messages from Tim LaHaye, General Jerry Boykin, Kalam Saleem, and two bonus teachings by Skip Heitzig. Order your copy today for just $20 at connectionradio.org or call 1-800-922-1888.
And when you call to order that Alert 2.0 package, don't forget to ask for a copy of today's teaching. It's available for just $6, including shipping, when you call us at 1-800-922-1888. Plus, anything you share above that suggested donation will help us continue to bring you these daily studies with Skip. So call us at 1-800-922-1888 or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 877-207-8799. And thanks again for your support of this ministry.
And make the connection.
Join us next time as we learn more about that wonderful day when Christ will finally be united with His bride, the Church. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.